This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America Tonight, key reminder on the 29th of January, my promise to you is that we have a double dip for Nail the Score, meaning two games. You get to nail two games here on Nail the Score. Woohoo! Because we had to miss the one Nail the Score. My mother-in-law was sick and was getting out of the hospital and was having trouble breathing. Thank goodness she's okay. Just keep your fingers crossed and prayers for her always. But yeah. Scary, and I know you can all relate to that. But anyway, the 29th, for a give back, we'll do two games, and I bet you somebody will nail the score. I just have that feeling somebody will nail the score. All right, let's move into some what I call quick headers. And this one I like, because this was a big story this year, and almost anybody, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, confused, whatever, it doesn't matter. You don't even have to label yourself. But the Flint water problems. So how about this? The Michigan prosecutors charged four former government officials with criminal conspiracy to violate safety rules. Ready for this? In connection with the Flint water crisis, the former state-appointed emergency managers Darnell Early, Gerald Ambrose, former city employees, I'm going to say their names because I know people are listening to us near there, Howard Croft, a public works superintendent, and Doherty Johnson, a utilities manager, were the latest to be charged in this case. And, you know, it's ridiculous what happened to these people in Flint. The water. I mean, seriously, when I've seen cameras go into Flint and what they have to do to just have showers, it's ridiculous. We live in the United States of America, and there's only, I mean, they ruined the system. So there's only so much that you can do quickly. But how horrific is that, that people are in the situation because of negligence on the part of the people who were running Flint and the water system. That should never have happened. When you turn a blind eye or when you just are going for the cheap hit, that's what happens, right, in this case. So Michigan, of course, has been at the center of public health in this health crisis since last year when they found high amounts of lead in blood samples taken from kids in Flint, which is awful. And the Flint contamination was linked to a decision in 2014 by a state-appointed emergency manager to switch the city's, think about this, water source to the Flint River from Lake Huron in an attempt to cut costs. So what did I say about the costs? And then look what happens to the people. Lead can be toxic. Kids are vulnerable. And it's a crisis. And it's prompted lawsuits by parents who say their kids have shown high levels of lead in their blood. And there's only so much treatment you can get for that. So good that these people were prosecuted. They should be prosecuted. They should be prosecuted. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right, we move on to, like I say, some more quick hits. How about this? The New York Times had a report this week that the president is going to transfer more Gitmo detainees before he leaves office, because now time is short. The clock is ticking. The 20th is the inauguration, and then Donald Trump takes over as president. So President Obama is going to transfer 17 of the 18 of the remaining Gitmo prisoners before he's gone. Italy, Oman, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates are set to take the detainees. How about that? So often they would not take them, but they're going to take them. So that is big news. Oh my gosh. I mean, this whole Gitmo tug of war has been ridiculous. That would leave about 41 or 42 detainees at the prison. So that's a significant reduction, but you still have the problem of, okay, so what do we do? What are we doing with Guantanamo? And that's obviously also on the president's agenda. And we have talked about that so much here on America Tonight, what it's like at Gitmo, what, should have, would have, could have happened at Guantanamo, but didn't happen, and the drain that it is, but what would it mean to shut down Guantanamo? Will we see it shut down? Will we see it shut down in this presidency? That's an interesting question, because that's on the list, but there are so many other priorities that would be higher up on the list. And you've heard me say this before. If everyone else in America is making lists, we have to make lists. You know that. I know that. We have to-do lists. If we don't have some sort of list, however your system is, I don't care what it is, three things I'm doing today, things don't get done. You forget them. It becomes crazy, chaotic. And it seems so simplistic, and it's not realistic, I suppose. But I always thought, isn't there just a big whiteboard? Here's the issue. 1, 2, 3. Yes, well, let's just start on this today. Where's the timeline? I'm sure that there are people that are doing that, but do they lose the paperwork? We've been talking about this forever. I know it's a hot potato, but I have to think there would have been an easier way to leapfrog this situation, but I suppose not, but I don't understand. I understand the complexities now of trying to unravel what's gone wrong in healthcare and the complexities of some other policies that were failed. However, I would think here it's money movement, shutting down, figuring it out, allocation, getting the approval, blah, blah, blah. I know it's complicated, but I would think that that could have been solved a lot quicker. Oh, a lot quicker. All right, and how about this? The Grinch who stole the meals. Apple owes $2 million for not giving workers meal breaks. Yeah. So the lawsuit was filed in 2011 by four Apple employees in San Diego. They say that the company failed to give them meals and rest breaks, didn't pay them in a timely manner, among other things. California law requires employers to give hourly workers a 30-minute meal break if they're, you know, when they're on the clock for a certain amount of time. So they have to pay. I don't think they'll protest this one either, because obviously they had been fighting it. So they have to give those breaks for however long they're on the clock. And, you know, with Apple, as in many of these companies, it's the workload can be where you're just, especially if you're an engineer or whatever, you're working at a time where it's a specified time, but then you're going way over that time, and it's almost inevitable that consistently you're going to see that you're going to exceed the time limit, in other words, right? So anyway, I think that's great, because they should get their breaks. I mean, really, come on. How effective? I mean, this is a good thing we're going to look at coming into next year. The brain, and we have done that. How effective are you if you're just pounding, you know, 13 hours straight? I don't care how young you are. I don't think it's an age thing. And I know some of you listening to this are chuckling because you worked dogged. I've been there. I've worked dogged hours in my careers. And I think it's good, though, that they went after them and they're getting that money. They should get that money. Apple certainly has enough of it to move around. All right, on that note, coming up, more fabulous interviews, as I said, in our holiday edition, the best of America tonight.
Is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call miniCPAP.com now. 1-800-441-9833. Again, that's 1-800-441-9833.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Joins us. He is so funny, and he's hard at work on Kevin James' new series that's coming out, and it's getting a lot of publicity now. I just saw a blurb a couple of weeks ago in USA Today about that. So, Michael, first of all, welcome, and we'd be remiss not to ask you about that, because when we last left you, you pulled up stakes and left the West Coast to go to New York. What's it been like working on this series with Kevin?
It's been pretty awesome. I tell you what, I'm living in Long Island now, which is like the most patriotic community I have ever seen in my life. It's crazy. It's the best. It's like old school Americana. So I'm really digging it. And then I'm going to be moving my show, The Flip Side, to the East Coast as well. So that's been a boatload of fun. It's weird. Like every season on The Flip Side, season one was Dallas, season two was L.A., and now season three is New York, so maybe I'll do Paris or London next year.
Nice. Good for you. That's exciting. So while all that's going on, I know you pay attention to what happens in the comedy world in general with comics and with late night guys / comedians. And Larry Wilmore, we talked about him and of course, the big correspondence dinner that he did. And now Larry Wilmore is signing off at Comedy Central, not by choice. Comedy Central is dropping him. Are you surprised by that or no?
Not really. I mean, I've always thought, like, half the country is Republican, half the country is Democrat, pretty much. Those, like, don't quote me on that, but it's just rough, yes. There's, like, seven full-time comedy shows that make fun of the right. Not all of them can succeed. I mean, God bless Larry Wilmore. I hear he's a very nice and a very funny guy. But at some point, you can't have seven shows on the air that all do the same thing. Like, oh, I'm going to tune in and get my laughs about the stupid Republicans from Samantha Bee and The Daily Show and John Oliver and Bill Maher and Larry Wilmore. And it just, like, the list can't just go on forever. So he had to go bye-bye.
And, you know, some people are talking about Will Moore and saying it, and I think what you say is dead on, that there's a saturation point, and so only a few are going to rise to the top, and the rest maybe make it in the middle, and the others would eventually get dumped off. But what's been going on is some of this backlash saying that, oh, it's because of, you know, it's the whole he's black and what he had to say at the dinner, and it was just terrible. But that's not really it, is it?
Here's what's going to happen. He's going to get wrapped up in a giant big bow of it was too brave. America wasn't ready for a show that was just ready to look and talk about race issues and political. Like, he was ahead of his time. That's what'll be the thing. Now, and this is the horrible thing to say, had that been a white guy on there, it would have been outrageous. Like, finally, the show gets canceled. He leaves in disgrace. I mean, there's just such a double standard. It's beyond ridiculous. But I want to celebrate brave Larry Wilmore and his super brave show. And he'll be back. He actually is. Now, I'm going to tell you something, the truth here. Like, that dude has a stellar reputation as a phenomenal writer and comedian. So Larry Wilmore will be back.
And isn't that the whole thing about comedy? Comedians have friends, and friends help friends. And if you're a good guy, good chick, you know, good pal, and you do what you can do, you can find gigs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be funny. Be funny first, and it's amazing. If you're a good human being, you're always going to have friends. If you're a bad human being, you're not supposed to have, unless you're Hillary Clinton. Then you can just buy them.
Oh, I like that. Ooh, there's a dig. be funny first. I love that. Be funny first. I mean, that's kind of a good question. I've had people say to me, I've dabbled a little bit in stand-up very weakly, but occasionally I'm funny, Michael. But here's the thing. People always say, well, how did you get funny? How do you get funny? Do you think it's something like for you? Is it something you're born with? You have a natural affinity for making people laugh, or no? Can you grow it?
Well, I think there's both sides. Like me, I'm Irish Catholic family, youngest of five kids. Mine, literally, I've thought about it, and mine is just a desperate cry for attention. It really is. Look at me. But other people, like some people are genetically born with they have that gift of timing, and other people it can be learned. Everybody is funny. Everybody is funny. It's just how often they're funny is the big difference.
I love that. Everybody is funny. Oh, by the way, we share that. I'm from an Irish Catholic family too, and I think you're right. I mean, here's the question: when you're a kid and you have to do the whole confession thing, did you say the same thing over and over again? I broke my mother's plate.
Yeah, I had my standard go-to one. The worst is when it's, like, for real, and you haven't been in a long time. Like, you haven't been in a super long time, and you're like, oh, my Lord, I got a bunch here. I'm so glad this is anonymous.
But here's the key thing. Do you remember the prayers? Okay, like, I was just praying. Just say Hail Marys, because I got that memorized.
Yeah.
Forget the rest, right?
Yeah. I'm not even worried about the number. But it's really weird how it is, like, cathartic. Like, it works. I would recommend you feel so much better, whether it's real, whether it's fake. I totally believe in the power of confession. I don't you feel so much better when you leave. You're like, woo.
Yeah, there is something about that. The unburdening, right?
Yeah, that guy knows. I'm still walking around on planet Earth. I've been struck by lightning. I guess it's all gonna work out.
Exactly. I think there's a bit in this. So maybe we've written
a bit. I'm writing it as we speak.
I love it. I know you're busy. You're shooting and you're working on the Kevin James deal, and we can't wait to see that. Thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And, yeah, we're on CBS this fall. It's going to be super funny. I'm very, very happy with the way this show's going.
Cool. Can't wait to see it. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Go Tribe.
Love it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a funny guy Michael is, you know, talking about he is definitely one of the busier performers, writers in the comedy world. And he mentioned it. He's the host of The Flip Side with Michael Loftus and The Loftus Party on radio, too. And he just has that timing. I love what he just spread for all of you to hear. Be funny first. And everybody is funny. It's just a matter of, you know, how often you're funny. I don't know. Have you met people, if you're listening to me, have you met people that just are not funny? You've never seen anything out of them that's remotely funny? Or maybe there's something funny there, but you just haven't seen it. So if you don't know The Flip Side, and this is how we found Michael, what the Flip Side is about, it's kind of like what I say on ATN. It's the other side of the news. So mixing in what's happening, the kind of that topical humor, obviously. He's got that stand-up in him and really kind of mixes it up. And his background is stand-up comedy. He's a veteran stand-up comedian, but he's also worked in TV for a lot of years. That's why he got this thing with Kevin James, as he said, it's coming up in the fall on CBS, but he worked with Charlie Sheen. There's a punchline every minute, right? But he said Charlie Sheen, and just in general, his family was incredible. If you ever watched Anger Management, if you ever watched that show, a lot of that came from the head of Michael Loftus and the rest of the comedy team that was there, of course, because it wasn't just him alone. No man is an island, or no man is funny unto himself, right? Writing all those lines. And then he also worked on George Lopez's show, too, for ABC. And the George Lopez show, boy, there was some really funny moments that I can remember in George's show. And of course, as I said, you know, the true test or testament to Michael is where he started, got his chops, and it was doing that stand-up comedy on Comedy Central. He's had, you know, full hour specials on Comedy Central. And also on True TV's The Smoking Gun Presents. And there's some really funny stuff there, because I know when we've had him on before, a lot of you have asked me, oh, how do I find Michael? Where do I find him? And his website's pretty easy, theloftusparty.com. And that's L-O-F-T-U-S, loftusparty.com. You can find his stuff there. And, of course, he is very, very tweetable. And his handle is his Twitter handle, kind of like in the old days when they had truckers. What's your handle? At Michael Loftus Comic. At Michael Loftus Comic. All right, hang with us. Speaking of The Flip Side, I'll meet you there.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
America Tonight, joining us, very excited to have him with us, Ken Timmerman. He is the author of a really interesting book that centers around deception, right? Talking about what's happening with the making of the YouTube video, Hillary and Obama blame for Benghazi, and what's happened with the Obama administration and the cash that was, we're going to talk about this, the cash that was airlifted to Iran. We mentioned this on the air, and a lot of you sent really crazy emails as to how does this go down and how do we not know some of the details on that. So again, Ken Timmerman, the author of Deception, the making of the YouTube video, Hillary and Obama blame for Benghazi, and Countdown to Crisis, the coming nuclear showdown with Iran. Ken, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
I want to mention this, too, at the beginning, because you have some incredible credentials. And you were a war correspondent, and you were actually nominated for a Nobel Prize back in 2006. And you're an investigative reporter, which I think we need investigative reporters so desperately. But so many budgets have been sliced and diced, and at least that's one of the reasons I'm always given for why that happens. But tell us about your days as a war correspondent.
My wife has tried to get me to hang up my spurs, and I haven't. I guess the last time I was back in a war zone was 3 years ago. So I was in northern Iraq along the Iranian border, and in the past 10 years or so, I've been doing a lot in northern Iraq with persecuted Christians in the Nineveh Plain. It was clear to me already in 2007, 2008 that there was a new movement that was brewing among former Ba'athists and jihadis, and that
became ISIS, and everybody could see it coming there on the ground, and yet apparently our president was completely taken by surprise.
Yeah, so that's a good area to go in. So you see this happening, and I've heard this from a couple of soldiers that I've talked to. So how is that? Was it just like, forget it, put our head in the sand, just ignore it, we're not dealing with it, and now look what's happened, and you were there, you saw. I mean, I guess I'm almost answering that question that we throw out constantly on the show, but how is that possible? Why not just go after that hornet's nest right away?
Well, because I think President Obama had an ideology, and his ideology was that Islam is not a problem. Islam is a friend. Islam is a religion of peace. Therefore, there cannot be a terrorist group that is based on Islamic doctrine or Islamic Sharia law. And we've seen this time and time again. Once ISIS began to organize, he called them the JV team, right? Dismissed them. Whenever there is a ISIS-related or Islamist-related terrorist attack in the United States or any place around the world, he calls it either workplace violence or violent extremism, anything but Islamic terrorism.
Yeah, exactly. And so, as you mentioned where you were, and you're talking about northern Iraq and Iran, you see the situation with Iran. What was your initial reaction to finding out about the money?
Well, right. Not a ransom. Of course it was a ransom. It was crystal clear that that was a ransom. We know also from Saeed Abedini, one of the hostages, a Christian pastor, let's not forget, imprisoned by the Iranians for his faith. He has told American television that he was sitting in the plane with the other hostages waiting to depart Tehran, and Iranian officials told them, well, we got to wait for this other plane that is arriving. And, of course, the other plane was the one with the $400 million of cash in foreign currency, notably in 500 euro notes, a note that the European Bank wants to take out of circulation because it is the favored currency of money launderers and money launderers and terrorist groups.
Yeah, wow. Like you said, the wooden pallets stacked with euros and Swiss francs and other currencies, and just crazy. And you know, because you've been in these zones, and this is an obvious question, but it's worth repeating for the audience, you can't deal with terrorists, can you? I mean, you just cannot do this whole ransom thing.
Here's what happens, Kate. As a result of this, every American who goes to Iran, and there are something like 30,000 Americans who go there every year, dual nationals and also people who go there for tourism, every single American who goes to Iran today has a price on their head. That's what this has done.
Yes, I mean, just awful, incredible, just unacceptable for sure. So, and there's nothing, I mean, now this is out there, the cat's out of the bag. Does this mean that there have been other maybe ransoms we don't know about, or you don't think so?
Well, it's typical. This is a pattern of behavior, okay? We saw it in Libya in 2011, 2012. That's what I write about in my new book, Deception, the making of the YouTube video Hillary and Obama blamed for Benghazi. We've seen it in Syria. We've seen it all across the Middle East in particular. The Obama administration and Hillary Clinton, who was part of this, does not want to acknowledge the violence of the Muslim Brotherhood. They do not want to acknowledge that there are Islamic groups who are seeking to emulate the Prophet of Islam through their behavior by crucifying Christians, by chopping off the heads of people they do not agree with or who violate Sharia law. And this is a pattern. They want us to look at other things instead of, they're trying to deceive us and to deflect our attention from the real news, which is this Islamic terrorism, or in the case of Mrs. Clinton, her corruption and her complete abject disregard for national security.
Yeah, wow. You know, in the title of your book, you talk about it, the making of the YouTube video. Explain that for us and Benghazi, your thoughts on Benghazi.
Well, it's an amazing story, and nobody's really looked into this. So I spent quite a bit of time with a filmmaker, the guy who made this movie, Innocence of Muslims, who has been slandered, really, in the American media, slandered by our government. I also spent a lot of time with one of the actresses, Cindy Lee Garcia, who woke up the day after the Benghazi attacks on September 12, 2012, and saw her face all over television, and then the President of the United States and the Secretary of State blaming her for the deaths of four Americans in Benghazi. And she just went nuts, and she said, I didn't do this. What are they talking about? And so I tell the story of a movie. The filmmaker deceived the actors and the actresses. They did not know they were making a film about Islam, but he redubbed the speech later on, and it was a film about Islam. And the scenes in the movie, when you go through the entire screenplay, which I did, and I write about this in the book, you realize that this movie was actually drawn from authentic scenes in the life of Muhammad that all Muslims agree to. They agree that these things happen. They just don't like the way that he portrayed it. Now, I got to give you a little side information. He hired for as a director a guy who basically does porno films. So the way that this was portrayed in the movie was admittedly not very kind towards the Prophet of Islam, but the stories were exact. They were faithful to history and faithful to what all Muslims believe.
Wow, this is like that movie. What was the movie Dustin Hoffman was in? Oh, you know
Wag
it.
The Dog?
Yes, Wag the Dog. It's like Wag the Dog.
Very much so. And it gets better because you find out, I also tracked how the movie, this YouTube video, went viral. Because at the time of the Benghazi attacks, nobody had seen it. Nobody had seen it. A couple of people in Egypt have seen it, but the U.S. reporters couldn't even find it. So the first, and I went back and contacted these reporters. A lot of them were lying, and they were fed by the administration. So their administration sources pointed them to a YouTube channel that had 405 views. That was the YouTube channel that was supposedly enraging, you know, hundreds of thousands of people all across the Muslim world. Just not true. I also found out, Kate, and this is for our older listeners, this will make you chuckle, that Sid Blumenthal, who was in the Clinton White House in the 1990s, makes his reappearance. And we now have a whole bunch of so-called intelligence memos that he was sending Hillary Clinton at the State Department, but via her private server, so that way everyone from Russia to Timbuktu could read them, right? And in those so-called intelligence memos, he laid out the story of the YouTube video, how this was so important in Libya. Everybody was watching it at noon, in the afternoon, excuse me, on the day of the attacks in Benghazi. Even the president was worried about this and warning his staff. Well, the president had never seen it. Nobody had talked about it. It was a non-event in Libya. We know that from both, you know, everybody who was at the embassy in Tripoli, everybody in the CIA, they were sending emails back to Washington. The movie has nothing to do with this. So it was Sid Blumenthal's story, his deception, his cover-up, so no one would look at what was really happening in Benghazi, which was selling arms to terrorists.
Oh, wow, crazy. All right, I'd be remiss not to ask you this, because I think it's really cool that you were recognized. So what was it like to be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize?
It was a shock. It was really a shock. I got a call from a gentleman I had met in Washington when he was visiting here once, named Per Ahlmark, a former deputy premier of Sweden. And he said, Ken, I want to nominate you and John Bolton jointly for the Nobel Peace Prize for the work that you've done on Iran to expose, in my case, to expose Iran's secret nuclear weapons programs. And I said, wow, that's really, really sounds quite an honor. Of course.
Wow.
It's never going to go anywhere,
right?
Because the Nobel Committee was not interested in exposing Iran. They were interested, really, in kind of covering up for Iran. But that's another story.
Right. Wow. Good stuff. So, Ken, how does everybody get your book?
You can go to Amazon.com. I'm told the publisher, they're now in the fourth reprint because these books are just flying out the gate.
Nice.
So I have a link at kentimmerman.com that takes you directly to where you can order it at Amazon. Some of the Barnes & Noble stores have it. You have to ask them, unfortunately, because they do not like conservative books so much. but they do have them in some places. But Amazon is probably the easiest.
All right. Excellent. Ken Timmerman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. A pleasure to be with you.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com. And use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
Talking a lot here on America Tonight, folks. You know this. Are we going to see some kind of brokered convention? What's going to happen in Michigan? As we know, this is D-Day and the back and forth of Trump and Cruz, and then there's Rubio. It's a wild circus, but where does it all end up? Dr. Herb London is with us. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research. And Dr. London, you know, this is a question we talk about a lot on America Tonight because everybody wants to forecast what's going to happen and, will we have a brokered convention? So there's the first question. Explain the brokered convention, and do you think we'll really have one?
Well, it's a distinct possibility. Let me just say that it's plausible, although I still think unlikely. What happens, of course, in Michigan, what happens in Ohio and Florida could be critical. If Rubio manages to pull out a victory in Florida, even though he is running as an underdog at the moment, then things do change a little. If Cruz maintains a very close, is rather close to Donald Trump going into the convention, but neither have the 1,237 votes required to secure that nomination, that too is going to be put into the calculus. So I think there are a lot of imponderables, but there is certainly the possibility that this could be a brokered convention. It would be a wild scene, and it's not going to come out well.
What happens if, you certainly get the feeling that the establishment Republicans really don't want Trump, but if it's Trump, they have no choice, right, rather than to embrace him?
Well, if Trump gets to 1237, there is no question that he's got the nomination, and no matter what the leadership in the party thinks, and obviously there's a lot of anti-Trump sentiment, he's going to be the nominee of the party. The problem, however, is that getting the 1237 is going to be far more complicated than even the Trump people think. There are other primaries. There are winner-take-all primaries. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, Kasich wins in Ohio, Rubio wins in Florida, and Trump wins in Michigan. Now the race looks a little different, not quite the same. Keep in mind that the distance between Trump and Cruz at the moment is only 90 delegates. Only 90 delegates. You need 1237 to be the nominee of the party. So it's not as if Trump's got this locked up, not by a long shot. And the anti-Trump sentiment is obviously working very hard. Some of that is you call the establishment, but not all of it is the establishment. I am certainly very angry at the Republican Party, angry because the Republicans gained control of the House and the Senate, and then you look at the last budget bill, and they gave Obama everything he wanted, including an additional $1 trillion to the national debt. I'm appalled and angry at the party, but I'm not a Trump supporter. So to suggest that everyone who is opposed to Trump is part of an establishment is, I think, something of an overreaction. There are many people who do not believe that Trump is qualified to be president of the United States. He doesn't have the requisite background. He doesn't have the temperament. He's vulgar. I mean, there are things that go into this candidacy that I do not think Trump possesses. That's my view. But again, whether it's my view or not, if Trump garners the 1237, I, as a Republican, will support him. But again, whether he can reach 1237 is not at all clear at this moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I agree with you, by the way, about whether he has what's necessary to be the president, etc. Absolutely, no question about it. I think that's the other part of this story. It does show you something of what is out there and what's pervasive in our society, I think. What do you read into that Trump gained this almost immediate popularity?
Well, I think that a lot of it is the fact that he is a national personality. In the case of most people who run for president, you've got to spend a lot of money buying name recognition. Donald Trump didn't have to spend a dime doing that. He is a personality. He is something of a television star. He is someone who is well known. He has promoted himself brilliantly. He is something of an expert on branding. I don't think there's very much there. I don't think he's a successful businessman, and I don't think he's a particularly successful politician, but he is successful at branding himself. And in that sense, he has a distinct advantage. The other part of it is people have been looking for someone who I think represents the anger that they feel about what is happening in the United States. The difficulties that we faced in America over the last 8 years under Obama's stewardship have coalesced around a figure, around an instrument, who is simply giving a giant finger to the establishment and the Republican and Democratic parties, saying, I'm tired of politics as usual. And that is what Donald Trump represents. People don't listen to the things that he says. They think of him as a symbol. And as a symbol, he represents everything that people are dissatisfied with a politics in Washington as usual. And in that sense, he has a distinct advantage.
We're speaking with Herb London. He's the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Looking at the others, looking at Cruz, you mentioned Rubio in Florida, of course, and all that maneuvering. Of those two, who do you think has the better chance to be there at the end if it's not Trump?
Well, again, it's I don't have a horse in this race, so
yeah.
I'm not here to promote a candidate.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is that it's going to be a lot closer than people anticipate. If you actually look at the number of representatives, notwithstanding the fact that Trump has been far more successful in winning the primaries, but if you look at the fact that these were proportional representation, and so you get a proportional vote, the consequence of that has been that the distance between Trump and Cruz is not very great at the moment. And then if you look at the fact that the race is coming up, a winner-take-all in Ohio and Florida, if, in fact, Rubio gets the 90-plus votes in Florida and Kasich gets the 66 votes in Ohio, they both have a claim. Now, how legitimate is that claim? It's very hard to say. But keep in mind, we may be talking about multiple ballots. So in the first ballot, even if they're not successful, there may be a second, a third, and a fourth ballot, in which case you start seeing deals being made, in which case it's difficult to know how things actually unfold. And it may very well be that Donald Trump ends up with, I don't know, a cabinet position, or maybe even a vice presidency rather than the presidency. You do not know what will actually happen at a convention. And if you look at the history of conventions, it is very clear that people sometimes come from virtual obscurity and end up with the nomination. John Garfield, for example, no one would have anticipated that he would get the nomination for the Republican Party, and yet he did. Again, you know, it's very, very difficult to know if you have a brokered convention, because you will have a party that's split. The reason why I said, however, this will not come out well is because the Trump people are going to be very angry if he doesn't get it. They'll bolt from the Republican Party. Will they start a third party? Hard to know. Donald Trump's assertions to the contrary, you have to realize almost everything that he says is like pie crust. It's going to break very easily. So you don't know whether, in fact, he will actually live up to that claim. And then the other part of it, Trump wins. If Trump wins, I can assure you, a very significant portion of the Republican Party is going to say, this is not for us. We're going to step aside. We're not going to vote at all. We can't vote for Pinocchio, and we're not going to vote for Joseph Stalin, so we're not voting. That is going to hurt the Republican Party dramatically. So again, either way, it does not work out well for the Republicans. And that's very, very unfortunate, because this is yet another opportunity for the Republican Party that will be blown by the party. And again, from the standpoint of looking at this from a historical perspective, this is very sad indeed.
Yeah, so the Democrats must be, based on everything you're saying, and you're right, they must be licking their chops, in a sense, behind the scenes watching this.
Oh, no question. However, they've got their own problem. Because if Mr. Comey, James Comey of the FBI, comes out with a report indicating that there really is criminal behavior that Hillary Clinton has engaged in, which seems to be the case, I might add, and even if there isn't an indictment, but just a report that comes out from the FBI, that report appears in the Washington Post, in the New York Times, in the LA Times, I can assure you that she's going to be flushed out of this campaign. The Democrats are not going to give this nomination to Bernie Sanders. You can't imagine that someone who believes that the means of production should be controlled by government should be the next president of the United States. So that's not going to happen. So in the wings is someone who's going to be described as the savior of the Democratic Party. His name is Joe Biden. Biden will, in a brokered Democratic convention, end up as the nominee of the party, probably running with Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts.
Wow, that's interesting, too. And, of course, that has absolutely been suggested by others. Do you think we're going to have a record turnout this time around because of a lot of things that we just talked about?
Well, I think that you will have a record turnout on the Republican side, where in the primaries, the number of people who have gravitated to the primary has been astonishing, absolutely astonishing. The increase is on the order of 30, 40, 50% in some states. It's quite remarkable. A lot of that is due to Trump, for which he deserves some credit. So I think that that's very important. The Democrats have had a lagging turnout, in part because Hillary doesn't muster the same kind of enthusiasm as her husband. And Bernie Sanders, as I indicated before, has his following among hardcore young socialists in the United States, who obviously didn't learn any historical lessons from the 20th century. So, again, the Democratic Party is in an odd position at the moment. If, in fact, the Republicans fail, they will fail because they've imploded, not because the Democrats have been more successful than the Republican Party.
Yeah, interesting. All right, it's been a great conversation. Herb London, again, go to London Center for Policy Research. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.